Oh, now that I had time to think about what Pastor Bill said, if I could do it over again, I'd probably say something like Hulk Hogan would say. Where did he go? Listen here, brother. Next Sunday, Father's Day, you're going down. You better say your prayers and take your vitamins. All my Hulkamaniacs are going to be watching. All right, it's all downhill from there. Okay, all right. I'm going to say a quick prayer. All right. Father in heaven, I thank you for today, Lord. You know my heart, Lord. Let your word speak through me. Holy Spirit, you have full access to me. Let's all learn something today for your sake, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, thanks for having me. I'm Travis. I'm the youth guy here at the church, and just want to say hi to Pastor Ben and his family. Hopefully you're enjoying California. So, I get to talk about dads today. And you ladies, you're awesome, and you get the night off, or the day off, excuse me. So you can sit back, relax, and hold your men accountable when you get home. So, all right. So I'll give a quick little testimony, we'll call it, of how I got here. So it was October of 2019. I was in a small group at Pastor Ben and Petraea's house, and all the ladies were in one room doing prayer, and just me and him were the men, and we just started praying, and he just said, you know, I feel the Holy Spirit say that you're entering a new season. And I didn't know what that meant, but I received it. And I just said, I accept in Jesus' name. So in January of 2020, which I find funny with the pandemic, but I was sitting right there, and he spoke to me as blunt can be, and he said, you're going to work with the youth, and you're going to obey. In fact, the exact word was obedience. I just saw obedience. And he knows that when someone outranks me, I listen. So he definitely outranks me. And I also know if I tell my wife, she's going to hold me accountable. So I told Sarah, and she goes, go tell Pastor Ben. And the rest is history. So I just wanted to get you up to speed a little bit with that. So this message is a two-part message. It's for dads. I did talk about the first part during our Wednesday message a couple of weeks ago. So I'm going to regurgitate quite a bit of that and then add a couple of facts and build off of that from there. So when Pastor Ben told me I was going to preach, I don't know if you've ever seen a fainting goat before, but that's pretty much my reaction. I'm excited to be here. It's awesome. And he gave me a verse to talk about. He gave me Micah 6:8, which I will read and eventually hear. But I didn't know much about Micah. I know he was one of the 12 minor prophets, and I know that I've read it a few times. And I'll be honest, full disclosure, it was to simply check it off the list, to keep going. Just to say I read the Bible more than once, you know, just kind of go through the routine. But Micah 6:8 meant nothing more than a verse to me. So I decided, you know what, I don't just want to cherry pick this one. So I decided to go and read the book. And it's actually a good book. It's short for those who are looking for a short book, but what he talks about is very impactful. So I'm going to give the Cliff Notes version. So basically, Micah, he's there. He's from Manasseh. I believe it's Manasseh. Let me get that right here. Moreshet, excuse me. Southern Kingdom of Judah. And then the Spirit of God was all over him. And that's verified in Micah 3:8. He really hammered on the elite in Jerusalem. They were corrupt. They were bribing each other. They were doing a lot of similar things that you see today. They were bending justice, bribery. Micah was sent to tell them, look, cut it out. Knock it off. Justice is coming. And on top of that, here's my notes. See, I'm not used to using notes, so just bear with me in my little spaces here, and that's okay. All right. I also noticed that Israel was in a bad place at that time, okay? And just like we are today, and that's where I'm going to tie these together. But I can't help it. I did this on Wednesday, but things were so bad back then that there was cannibalism. And the first thing my head went to was sitting around my table for supper with my kids and me just saying, hey, can you pass the leg? I just, we're not as bad as they were. So just, there's still hope, okay? So obviously, I'm trying to tie this to nowadays. Israel was divided back then, okay? There was a lot of bad things going on, okay? Violence on top of that. Obviously, they had a problem. Obviously, we have a problem right now. I'm trying to have some parallels here, okay? And I want to tie that together because as a father, okay, my dad taught me, and I'm sure many of you dads out there, you know, hey, we're the head of our house, correct? So we have to start somewhere. We have to root cause, okay? This behavior, these briberies, this corruption, it didn't just come out of thin air, okay? So we need to take a look at what we have control over, and that is our homes. So with that being said, here's some proof, dads, that we are very valuable, okay? If you want to go to the first slide, please, that would be excellent. I'm going to run through, I can't remember how many exactly, but at least a dozen, okay? Almost to nausea, but this will tell you, dads, how important we are. This is just one of them, okay? 85% of youth currently in prison grew up in a fatherless home. Now, full disclosure, Pastor Bill shared that last year, last Father's Day, okay? And that stuck with me, and I kept digging from there. Next, please. 7 out of 10 youth that are housed in state-operated correctional facilities, detention centers, and treatment facilities come from fatherless homes. That's the U.S. Department of Justice. I believe most of these have a label at the bottom in case you're interested. Next, please. 39% of U.S. students from first grade to their senior year of high school do not have a father at home. Sad. Okay, children from fatherless homes are twice as likely to drop out of school before graduating. 27.7 million kids live in a home where their biological father is not present. That equates to 1 in 3 children. That one hits me right in the heart. That's sometimes facts kill a little bit. All right. 100% of young girls will suffer from higher obesity rates than girls with fathers present, and fatherless young girls are 4 times more likely to become mothers before the age of 20. All right, that's a big number. Okay. 44% in the last decade, 44% of homes headed by a single mother were living in poverty, while only 12% of children in a home with both parents were living in poverty. You know, I forgot to mention, you know, as I go through these, the fun is next week, dads. We get to have fun next week. Today, it's kind of a wake-up call. Now, this part might not totally be affected, or this church, excuse me, might not be totally affected by a lot of these things, but these are real, and we'll get to us soon, trust me. All right, next one, please. Children in a single-parent home are twice as likely to commit suicide than in a two-parent home. Okay. 72% of Americans believe that a fatherless home is the most significant social problem facing the country. We're almost done. 68% of children will spend their entire childhood with an intact family. Next, please. 75% of rapists are motivated by displaced anger that is associated with feelings of abandonment involving their father. Okay. 63% of youth suicides involve a child living in a fatherless home when they made their final decision. That's rough. Okay. These are just some photos. There is photos just of so many riots. This is nowadays. There's Kenosha on there. There's Portland. There's, I believe, Chicago. There's Minneapolis. There is... We got a problem. Yes or yes? Okay. Well, let me get back to my notes. All right. So how do we fix this? Okay? Dads, we're gonna hammer on you today, okay? We're gonna hold ourselves accountable because we're the head of the house. Okay, scripture clearly states that we're supposed to be the leaders, correct? Okay? All right. We're gonna get into Micah 6:8 now. This is how I type Micah 6:8. And I'm gonna use my brother's voice just to give a slight jab at him, okay? Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and walk humbly with your God. All right. That is a great verse. So, you're welcome, Troy. Okay. All right. It's a great verse. All right. Humbly, huge part of that verse. Humbly. But today, we're not going to talk very much about that. We're going to focus on the basic block and tackling. We're going to focus on mercy or kindness and justice, okay? I mentioned basic block and tackling because sometimes our lives are so complicated. We got this going on. We got to simplify it. I coached football at Bayport for about 7 seasons, and I've had a lot of times where we're outmatched or we're just having a bad day, the kids aren't thinking correctly, just whatever's going on. And a very great way to start getting the kids back thinking correctly is get back to the basics. Get back to the basic block and tackling. Stop thinking about 100 things you need to do. It's just football. Focus on what you have to do. Dads, today we're going to focus on what we have to do. We're going to talk about what does a healthy justice and healthy mercy or kindness, depending on your version of the Bible, what does that look like? Micah 6:8. I heard a pastor once say this. It is a great way for us as Christians to take a needle and thread to all the sin, all the rips and tears of sin, and sew it back together. We're not here to debate Jesus. He's the way and the truth. We know that, correct? Okay? But he also gave us advice, not just in Micah, but in previous books as well, going way back. Micah is reminding them, he's giving them a way out. He's teaching them, get back to the basics, all right? He's giving them a chance to change their behavior. Let's start with justice and mercy. So, mercy, let's just go over the definition. Mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone who it is within one's power to punish or harm. Okay? Pretty self-explanatory. Justice. Behaving according to what is morally right and fair. So be kind, be fair, right? But what does that look like? Okay, what does that look like as a dad? Okay, how can we balance both of those? Because what happens when we use only one? Okay, it's overkill, right? You're not teaching what Mike is sharing here. You're not teaching your kids how to do it. So I'm going to give Pastor Ben calls her babe, but I got my version of a babe, my wife, come up here to be Haley. On Wednesday, Haley was my guinea pig, but she is not here today. So my wife, Sarah, give her a hand. She is going to play Haley, and we're going to go through 3 examples, and you're going to tell me which one's overkill of mercy, which one's overkill of justice, and what's the right balance. You ready for this?
I think so.
Can you be Haley?
Sure.
Does it work? Yes.
Are you ready?
I think so.
All right.
Okay. So I'm Haley. I'm a 16-year-old teenager.
We know. Well, hi, honey. How are you?
Hi.
What's going on?
I kind of made a mistake.
Okay. What's going on?
Well, I was driving down Mason Street, mm-hmm. and I was going about 60, and...
Well, I'm sorry, 60?
60.
Well, 35 is way too slow anyways, but go on.
Okay. So I came up, there was a light, but I didn't see it until I went through it.
Which light?
I think it was the third or fourth one.
Okay. I know which one you're talking about, and yeah. I don't even know why they put one there, to be honest. I mean,
okay, good. Okay. So, but there was a car that came through, and I hit it, and I looked in my rearview mirror, and the guy wasn't moving.
Hi.
So
hold on. He was probably just sleepy. It's fine.
Okay. Well, I thought about calling the cops, but then I didn't because you know how school is really stressful, and
I didn't
want them to find what's in my trunk.
What was in your trunk?
Well, you know, just I needed to take a load off. Stuff.
Like drugs and alcohol?
Yeah.
Well, life is stressful. I understand. Go ahead.
Okay. So I feel really, really bad about it.
Yeah.
But I hope he's okay.
Again, he's probably just sleepy. I'm so sorry about your car. We'll get that fixed up right away, okay?
What do I do?
You know what? You don't do anything.
Okay.
You just go sit down. Okay, you're safe. Everyone's healthy. He's resting it off. Okay? And you know what? I'll bring you some ice cream.
Oh, okay, good.
Okay, we'll get some chocolate.
Yeah.
The kind you like. Not like the really healthy stuff, like the really sugary stuff.
Yeah, okay. I really like it.
Okay?
And it'll
all go away.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Which one's that? If you didn't get mercy, you need prayer. Okay, so, all right. Now, new one. Hey, honey.
Hey, so I got distracted and didn't realize what time it was. I didn't get my chores done. I didn't realize I only have a half an hour before bed, and I really, really forgot.
You're grounded. You are grounded! Give me your keys. Give me your wallet. You know what? I will have you stoned! How dare you! I am all that is man! I don't know where that came from. Okay. Apparently, the Wizard of Oz, Cowardly Lion. We're the king! Alright. Again, I don't know where that came from. I didn't even have any coffee today. All right, last one.
Well, what was that?
Oh, justice. Overkill justice. Sorry. You got that, right? Okay. All right. All right. Last one. Ready, go.
I have an issue.
We all have issues.
I got my homework done,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't get my chores done because I ran out of time. I'm really stressed out right now, the end of school, and with dance, Petrea is just working us really hard. She's making us stay late, and I know I could have done better with time management, but she's pushing me really, really hard, and all of us really hard, and I
just want to tell you something.
What?
I, too, know what it's like to be overworked by a lamb, so I totally understand, okay?
Okay.
We'll pray about that, okay? But move on. Go ahead.
Okay. So because of that, I did get my homework done, but I didn't do my chores that I was supposed to get done today, and it's 5 minutes before bed. I just realized I didn't get it done. I'm really sorry.
Thank you for confessing. Here's what we're going to do, okay?
Okay?
I love you. We're going to regroup and figure out how we can make this a better situation, but tomorrow we'll just have to double up the chores. Okay, because the house still needs to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you for telling me, and we'll deal with it tomorrow.
Okay.
I love you.
I love you too. Okay, bye.
All right. Well, before she goes, I just want to recognize my wife, because I couldn't do this without her. I'm so thankful that she's my wife, and she's been a big support. You might not know this, but I can be difficult to live with in regards to sitting still and getting things done. So she is amazing, and behind every good man is a great woman rolling her eyes, and this is mine. I just want to give her thank you. All right. I want to use a real life example too. I was 16, 16 years old. It was 1998. Don't do the math. And I had the car, or the actually it was a minivan, which at that point, when you first get your license, any car is cool. And the Packers were playing the Steelers on Monday Night Football, and that's when they were still good. So mom and dad told me, be home at 10:30. Okay? You got it. Went to my friend Luke's house, watched the game. They were playing very bad, we'll call it that, and it was getting close to time to go. So I started wrapping up. I am a frisk, so I'm usually ahead of time with all those things, and I noticed that somebody is parked behind me. Now the panic button begins because there's like 50 people there, okay? And they're scattered. Some are shooting BB guns. Some are playing on trampolines. Some, whatever, just everyone's hanging out, okay? I can't find this guy or gal. Finally, I do, and it's getting close to 10:30. And oh, by the way, I brought a friend. I had to bring them from deep in the Swamico, over by the new zoo, kind of, all the way to Howard, and then get back to my parents' house on Woodington Way. I got home at 10:49, and I heard them both say, it's 10:49. Give me the keys. You're grounded for 19 days from the vehicle. I love you, but we have rules for a reason. That, to me, is a really good justice and mercy. They didn't beat me to death. They didn't condemn me forever to my room. They didn't call the neighbors over to get me stoned. Look, they taught me a lesson. You can ask my wife, am I always on time?
Yeah.
Okay? Is there any scars from that story? Okay? My parents, on Wednesday when I told the story, they don't remember it, but thank you. You taught me something. Okay? You taught me to be responsible. Okay? There was justice and there was mercy. Okay? I think it's a great example. Just wanted to share that. So, dads, we need to get back to the basic block and tackling. We need to get back to justice and mercy, the healthy version of those things. If you don't, we have problems. I mean, if you go the mercy route, I mean, the kids think they can get away with anything. Okay? If you go justice, they're going to be so closed off from you by the time you are 18, you're going to have no relationship with them. So here's the part. I'm moving along pretty good here. That's good news for you guys. So I mentioned earlier that we might not suffer from those facts I mentioned before. This church may not have a huge, you know, issue going on there. But here's the issue that all Christians have to consider. And this, again, starts with the dads. And this one breaks my heart. According to crossexamine.org, which I've gotten to know very, very well over the last month, 75% of kids walk away from the church after they leave home. I'm going to say that again. 75% of kids walk away from the church after they leave home. When you're talking eternity, that's a big stinking deal. Dads, I'm a visual guy. Sarah, can you stand up? Sherry? Trisha? We got to pick on my sister-in-law. Where's Jamie? Can you stand up, please? Oh, she's not here? Okay. Congratulations, you are all 18. Okay? Now the bad news. 3 out of 4 of you are not going to come back to church if these numbers are correct. I don't know. I'm just a visual guy. But that if that doesn't make you sick, I don't know what does. Okay? You may be seated. Enjoy your youth. Okay? So that to me is what, that stirred me up right there. That stirred me up big time. This is where I've had the honor of, I spent 7 hours in the last 2 weeks with Michelle Godmer. Okay? I spent 5 hours with Dave and Kathy just for lunch. I've had some amazing support to help me with this, but it's right now I'm going to focus on Michelle. Michelle wrote a book that I read over the last couple weeks about Hezekiah, and it is a great motivation for us dads because right now what we're doing You might not have any issues in your home in regards to those numbers, but that number we all have to address. That's a big issue, okay? That is a huge issue. So this is why I bring up Hezekiah, the second part of my message. Okay? Hezekiah had about 200 years of kings after Solomon. Solomon was the last one to practice everything and do everything in regards to the Lord and what he required of us to do. Okay, there's lots of it. But Hezekiah was the first one to get it back and start it. He started all over. Even the Passover was already passed. But he, instead of waiting till next year, he decided, no, we're doing it now. We're not waiting. We're gonna fix this around now. He had Assyria from the north picking them off one by one. And he said, you know what? Our parents of old, our kings of old, weren't doing it right. Okay? We need to change now. Okay? So I'm going to read from 2 Chronicles 31, 1. This is 2 weeks, after 2 weeks of Passover. Now, for those playing the math game, Passover goes for a week. But people wanted to stay. They wanted to continue to worship and practice in it and continue it on for 2 weeks. This is a big deal. That means there's probably not a lot of pushback. There's people that are on board with this. Okay? 2 Chronicles 31, 1. When all this had ended, the Israelites who were there went out to the towns of Judah, smashed sacred stones, cut down the, I'm going to murder this, Asherah poles. We'll just call them poles. Okay? They destroyed the high places and the altars throughout Judah and Benjamin and Ephraim and Manasseh. After they had destroyed all of them, the Israelites turned to their towns, to their own property. Okay? Now, if you're not familiar with all those names, those are just a bunch of the areas around in Israel, okay? They're going back to their places and they're saying, that's it. We got a problem. We need the Lord. We're starting over. We're cutting down the idols. We're chopping down this, that, whatever is causing us to look away from Him. Dads, are you getting the hint? It says tied to dads. Cool. All right. So what does that mean for us? Okay? It means we can't just show up. Just because we're in the house, those numbers don't apply to us, right? So we're good. No, that's not true. We have a responsibility in our homes. Okay, I get it. This society makes us, they're trying so hard to shrink us. Okay? They are. But we don't live by that, do we? Okay? Are we having difficult conversations with our kids? Okay? Good, bad, and different. Where are their hearts at? Okay? Are you checking the fruit? Okay? That's Michelle's line. I loved it. But she goes, because we were talking, and she mentioned, you know, what about checking the fruit? I was giving her examples of how I parent, and she calls it checking the fruit. It's the truth. I got Brayden sitting over here. I ask him how he's doing all the time. I ask Haley, how are you doing? Because guess what? If I'm not getting the information, if I'm not putting the information into them, someone else is. And I don't know who that someone else is all the time. I can't be by them every single day, or every second of the day, excuse me. Okay? I remember, I'm going to pick on Haley without giving it too details, but my daughter Haley, we had a really hard conversation. She was acting different. She was forgetting things. Things were going on. And her and I had a heart-to-heart. We checked the fruit. And we root caused it, we prayed against it, and we sealed it in prayer. You have to have those discussions because these universities, they don't care about Jesus. Maybe some do, okay? But the numbers show us otherwise. All right? Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. I'm living proof of that. I tried my 20s to run. Run, 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 run. Run, 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 run. And I'm here, okay? I listened to my dad. I listened to my mom. They hammered me, okay? We won't depart from it. Okay, I got lost here for a second. Romans 12, verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay? Our kids are watching what we're doing. Don't think for a second, dads, that you don't matter. Don't think you are just a paycheck. You're not. If you could put that slide up. The next one. I believe it's the last one. This is Kurt Frisk. He's right there. Look at that stud. Mr. All-State quarterback back in the 70s.
Look at that hair.
He had hair. My dad taught me all the time, remember the cross. You know what? I wanted to be like my dad. I did. I worked out, I lifted weights, I crawled all over him, I asked him questions, I played basketball. I'm surprised his shoulders are still there. I mean, we played basketball. I mean, he played catcher for me. He did everything. He tried so hard, okay? But the one thing that stuck with me in my 20s, no matter what I did, no matter what I ran from, guess what? I remember his words, remember the cross. Dad, you matter. Your words matter. Your actions matter, okay? So Pastor Ben gave me a book to read, and there's a lady named Dorothy Laholtz, and it's called Learning from Living, and I felt this was very worthy of sharing. It says, if a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. You hear that? If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. But if a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns confidence. If a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. I like that one. If a child lives with security, he learns to have faith. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. If a child lives with acceptance and friendship, he learns to find love. What are our kids learning from us? Okay? We can't just show up. We cannot just show up. I'm drawing a blank right now, but I do have a good verse. I just don't know if this is where I wanted to be. But we're going to read it because it's awesome. Psalms 78, 1 through 8. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide from them, from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law of Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them. Even the children yet to be born, and they turn in and would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. I bring that up because where do you want our kids to go? Are you handing the baton to them? Or are you just throwing them up against the wall and hoping they'll stick? What are you doing? What are you part of the solution? I guess is what I'm trying to get at. Are you confident that your kids are set up for success? Are they ready for the wolves? You know, Michelle said when we were getting together talking about these things, and she mentioned that, you know what? I don't know where these parents get it where they think that through osmosis, your faith is going to be transformed right to your kids. And I love how she used the science term in there. That makes sense. So my point is, don't just think by showing up that we're doing enough. All right? The two things I want you guys to remember is balance of justice and mercy. That's a huge start. Remember, it's a needle and thread to help with the rips and tears from sin. Okay? Don't walk out of here the same. That's the other thing. Dads, this is a very simple message. I was told to keep it simple on purpose. So you can walk out of here. Don't just, oh, that was a good message. Yeah, Travis only messed up a couple times. And yeah, you know. Don't do that. Go home. Talk with your wives. You know what? Have difficult conversations. You know what? There's things that I've had to let go of and change in my household. And tell my kids, look, I understand that we did things a certain way, but we don't do that anymore now. And here's why. We need to have difficult conversations. Iron sharpens iron. Proverbs 27:17. If you don't know where to start, dads, if you're just stuck, you think you're okay, there's a couple of things you can do. You can ask the Lord, Lord, reveal it to me. Okay, ask the Lord to reveal it to you. He might not do it right away, okay, but He will reveal it to you if you're ready for it, if you're humble enough to receive it. Don't just walk out of here thinking that things are going to be fine, hunky-dory. Don't be part of the 3 out of the 4. Okay, we have so many good men in this church. Dads, spiritual dads, granddads. We got Steve Freeze over here. Who doesn't love Steve Freeze? There's a reason why Pastor Ben picks on him all the time. I love you. All right? Talk to each other. Don't go, Troy, you know, I want to share feelings with you. I just want to share my feelings. No. Have tough conversations. Troy, knock it off. Travis, knock it off. Why are you doing that? What's your reasoning behind that? How can we make that better? You know, have those tough conversations. Wives, here's where you get to listen again. hold your hubbies accountable. I know you will. I have a wife. Okay, have a good discussion with them tonight and hold them accountable. And you know what? I don't know how long that was, but that's my message for today. So Troy, piano, I get to tell him what to do. I'm going to close in prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you so much for the men in this room. Lord, there's a reason why this church, we are lifting them up this month. And Lord, we just ask in the name of Jesus for change, for growth as fathers, Lord. Help us to be humble. Help us to find that balance of justice and mercy in our family. Lord, protect our children. Lord, we come against the attacks of the evil one trying to take them from our churches, Lord. It is not the way, Lord. Lord, bring conviction to them, Lord. Lord, bring conviction to the dads to readjust and reevaluate, Lord, not with legalism, but with justice and mercy in the way you want us to do it, Lord. Help us to love on our kids, Lord, and teach them the way so that when they do get old, Lord, they don't depart from the way we do things. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Travis. And just as we are ready to dismiss, I want to again remind you, pick up a few flyers for Dad Fest. And let me also just tag on to how he finished. We have a lot of good men in this church. We have a lot of good men. You know, the world has a lot of good men. But what our children need are spiritual men. You can be good and not spiritual. It's harder. But what we need are men who are spiritual and who lead their families in a spiritual manner. Don't just show them how to be a good person. Show them how to be a lover of Christ. Show them how to fall on their knees when they need help. Show them that you are not so big and bad and brave that you can take on the world by yourself. Show them you need Jesus too. See, we need more than just good men. Oh, and I love good men. I'm glad we have a lot of good men in this church. But we need spiritual men. We need spiritual leaders. Hallelujah. Thank you. You are officially dismissed. Go in peace. We'll see you Sunday. Wednesday.